You all, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let's turn our Bibles to John, to the book of John, chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Let's pray. Dear loving Holy Father, Lord, we come to you through your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may your Holy Spirit speak through me, Lord. Give me the boldness, the wisdom, the utterance that's needed for today's message, Lord. May your grace be upon me and your children. May your presence be here, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Last Sunday, I was preaching on the topic of the 9 marks of a true believer. And I have covered 4 marks of a true believer last time, and I'm going to continue with the rest, God willing. And so here we see 9 marks, essential marks, or the nature of a true believer in these 9 points. It's very important. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves to see if we are in faith. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, examine our life and see if you are in faith or if you are truly a child of God. So I have some points here. I would like to also give you a soft copy if you're interested in, or you can download it. I'm going to upload it into our website, so website page, so you can download it. The first mark is a life of faith. And the second one is repentance. A believer should have repentance. Third one is a spirit of unworthiness, or in other words, a spirit of humility that you should have. These are essential marks of a true believer. Every believer should have faith, repentance, spirit of unworthiness, and also they should be led by the Holy Spirit. It's very important to be led by the Holy Spirit. Many times as Christians, coming from a Christian families, sometimes we might think, assume a lot of things, that I am God's child, and when I die, because I'm going to go to heaven because I'm brought up in a Christian family, I do my regular prayers, I sing and worship Christian songs, I go to the church. But the Bible is clear, telling that you should examine your faith, you should examine your life and see if you are truly a child of God. Again and again, it's mentioned also in 2 Peter 1:10 says, make due diligence to make your election calling sure. Make sure that you are God's child. Make sure. The fourth is you should be led by the Holy Spirit. As many as they that are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the children of God. It says Romans 8:14. The fifth one is that a true believer will know the voice of the Lord. This is also very important. Many times we ignore this, but a true believer will know the voice of the shepherd. He has the spirit of discernment. He can hear the voice of God and from the voice of the deceiver, or he will know that this is the voice of my God and this is the word of God. This is not the word of God. Sixth one is a believer also will have an overcoming spirit. That's also an essential mark of a true believer. He'll have an overcoming spirit, or in other words, he will have an obedient spirit. An obedient spirit, an overcoming and an obedient spirit. He will have Jesus Christ as not only as a savior, but he will have Jesus Christ as his Lord and master of his life. So that's the sixth one. And the seventh one is, these are from 7 onwards, it's like the fruit of the Spirit. Or like you see the fruits of the Spirit that dwells in us, is that he will have a spirit of love, God's love. And then you can see how God's love is manifested in his ways. The eighth one is, he will have a hope that God has promised us. Brother Joel also was talking about this hope. that the hope of Christ in us, living in us, eternal promises that is set before us, the hope for eternal blessing, not only for this life, but also for the life that is to come. He will have this hope that God has promised to a believer. God that cannot lie has promised. See that in Hebrews chapter 6, that by two immutable things, God has given us this hope. It says, Hebrews 6 verse 18 says that He has set before us this hope, the hope of the promises of God, the eternal promises. The Bible says that God, when God blesses us, the promises and the blessings of God are eternal, because He is an eternal God and the promises of God are eternal. Sometimes we only think about these few promises that we live in this world, and we just try to think about just this life. But the hope that we have is eternal. And the ninth and the last one is, a true believer will have a growth, a spiritual growth will be evident in a true believer. If there's no growth, if he's the same as before, if there are no fruits in a believer, then you should examine yourself if you're truly a child of God. A child of God grows. There might be different levels of growth. Some trees grow really good. They flourish because you have good soil, you have good manure, everything. But some of them, they also grow because their soil is not good. They grow. It's like stunted growth. If you put, let's say, for example, if you put a tomato plant in a good ground with good sun, the plant bears good fruit, big red tomatoes. But the same plant, if you keep it in a pot with less sun, then it will also still grow. But the fruit is like maybe one or two fruits, because there is life in it, it bears fruit. Fruits may not be abundant fruit, but you will have a few fruits that is useful for the master. So we have these 9 points. We're going to cover some of them, and I'm going to review the first 4 points is faith. First one is, a believer shall live by faith and he will walk by faith. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. We see that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, in many books of the Bible. The just or the righteous shall live forever in Christ Jesus by faith alone. Faith is something that is not seen, but it's believing in God. That's what faith is. A just person believes in God. We look at faith in different ways. We know the definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. So faith is based on what you, is not based on what you see. Say if you have to come here by your car, do you exercise faith to come in a car? You know that your car is going to work. You know you have enough proof. Faith is something that is beyond reasoning. You need faith to some degree you need to use reason, because God has given us a mind to understand God. By the things that are created, you understand there is a God. But faith goes beyond reasoning, because it goes into the spiritual realm, spiritual world, where you trust in God without seeing Him. So faith is trusting, believing in God, the unseen God. That's what true faith is. True faith is manifested. You see the faith of Abraham as the father of faith. Though there was no hope, he hoped in the promise of God. It says in Romans chapter 5 also, we see that when Abraham believed in God, when there was no hope, because he was 100 years old, he was as good as dead, he considered his wife. His wife also, his womb was dead. That's what it says in the Bible. She was they were both old. But in spite of that, Abraham believed in God. Believed in the power of God. Faith is believing in God, believing in the wisdom of God, wisdom that He is all knowing in spite of your situation, in spite of what goes on to you. And when you are to, when you grow in the Lord and you come to some maturity, in spite of the situation, when you believe in God, that's when you have strong faith. Faith also depends, is based on and depends on the work of God and also the promises of God. The work of God is trusting only in God, in only in the promise that God has given you. If you give you an example where you believe in somebody's statement saying that I'm going to do this, and when you truly trust that person, do you have a backup plan? In case if he doesn't do it, I'm going to do this. That's not truly having faith in that person when you have a backup plan. So faith is completely trusting in God alone. Don't have any other plans to prove your own self. So that's what faith is. Faith is trusting in what God has promised, not trusting in something that God did not promise. That's not true faith. That's not biblical faith. So Abraham was convinced and persuaded and staggered not at what was promised to him, though he was old. And then we see that he received what was promised, and in the end he glorified God. So faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. So faith is trusting in God, believing in God, believing in the wisdom of God, believing in the power of God. When there is no hope, that's when you have to exercise faith, believing that with God, nothing is impossible. So that's what faith is. But we see also that in this world, there are many false prophets, false preachers, talking about faith in different ways, saying that because you do not have faith, God did not give it to you. Because you are not healed, because you do not have enough faith, you should have faith. They blame it on you. Throughout the church history, and even in the New Testament and the Old Testament, we see God's people going through different difficult situations, through difficult emotional, spiritual and physical trials and sufferings. Elijah was depressed, but he through faith overcome. But we see like God's people are not exempt from good illnesses. We cannot say that God's children are always healthy. The Bible doesn't support that. People say that God will heal you only based on your faith. That's a wrong understanding of the faith. God will heal you if you believe that He will. So you have to do is only you have to do is to believe that you He will do it, and no matter what it is, if you truly believe blindly, it's going to happen to you. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says God is faithful to His promises, what were given in God's word. It's very important for us to understand that. And people get very disappointed when they do not receive what they believed. The point is they have not, God has not promised them. They have not given this promise from God. So that's about faith. Then we have a true believer would have a life of repentance. Repentance is not just stopping from sinning, but repentance is a new life. A new life, a new mind, a new heart. That's what repentance is. It is complete change in your nature. It's not trying to stop yourself from sinning, but your nature is changed. In the Bible, we see repentance precedes true salvation. Especially if you read Acts, you see that God granted them repentance that led them to salvation. It says in many places in Acts, repentance is change of one's mind, change of life, change of nature, it's change of heart. By the Spirit of God, your heart is sanctified so that you are drawn towards repentance, and then you believe unto God. So repentance enables a believer to change his behavior so that he would not again repent of it. That's what we see some of the Bible verses talking about repentance. 2 Corinthians, I think 7:10, talking about this repentance. Godly repentance worketh towards salvation, so that we do not have to repent again. Repentance is not what you try to do to become be good, but what God has done inside, a nature, so that you hate sin, what you used to love before, you try to run away from it. That's what repentance is. And there is a growth in repentance. As you know more about God, the more you have a life that is in conformity to God's will. So we have looked at repentance and faith. Jesus also talking about the importance of repentance. Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish, Jesus said in Luke 13:5. Repentance is one of the essentials in a true believer. We should examine ourselves. We should examine our lives and see, do you have a change in your life? Do you have something that you can see a difference? Is God working in our lives? When you compare your life being an unbeliever and a believer, have you noticed a change? Have your friends noticed a change? Did your family or your spouses, have they noticed a change in you? If there's no change, then there's something is wrong with your belief or your faith. Then the spirit of unworthiness. Third one is God's children are humble, because we are convicted by the Holy Spirit. Conviction is done by the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16 verse 8 says that we are convicted of our sin. And then we also look at other places. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 12 says that the things that are given by God are freely given unto us. And this is revealed unto us only by the Holy Spirit, that it is free. It is free to us. That it is difficult for us to have this great salvation without God. It's grace. You will understand what God's grace is. I am unworthy to receive thy grace. So only when you are unworthy do you become worthy to receive his great gift of salvation. Because salvation is only by grace. Grace, the very definition of grace is not of works. So if you try to do some things to receive this great gift, then you are frustrating God's grace. That's what the Bible says, that you're trying to receive salvation with your own merits. That's what grace is. And then you do not have salvation if you try to frustrate God's grace. So we see is you should have a spirit of unworthiness. Like in Luke chapter 18, the tax collector was beating his heart and saying that I do not deserve it. Have mercy upon me. And he was not even willing to look towards heaven. He was standing far off and would not even lift his eyes unto heaven. He smote upon his breast saying, God be merciful to me, I am a sinner. All of God's children understand that they do not deserve his mercy. They do not deserve his grace. All of God's children, because they are convicted by the Spirit of God. They can understand the things of God. It's very important for us to realize that we are dependent of God only by his mercy. They trust in God. They do not try to do their own stuff, feeling proud about themselves that I have done this so that God will receive me. Because when I'm in heaven, we do not have a spirit like that of a Pharisee, where the Pharisee prays and says that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give my tithes. And I do that and I do this. That's not the spirit of God's children. The spirit of God's children is the spirit of unworthiness, humility. God exalts the humble. That's what the Bible says. God exalts those that are humble. And this is also a gift from God. Just the same way how faith is a gift from God, repentance is a gift from God, and then the Spirit is granted to us. That's what the Bible says, Romans 5:5, that the Holy Spirit was granted unto, was given unto us. Even this is a gift of God. Spirit of unworthiness. Number four is that we are led by the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. So it's also very important to examine our life and to see, are you truly led by the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Is God the Holy Spirit? Is He talking to you? Is He convicting you of your sin? Led by the Holy Spirit, are you influenced by the Holy Spirit? Are you prompted by the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit live in you? We know that we are born of God's Spirit. We looked at that we are born of God's Spirit. And we have a relationship with God because of the Holy Spirit. We are baptized in God, or we are baptized with God. We have this union in Christ by the Holy Spirit. We have access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us to all truth. Holy Spirit leads us to all truth. John 16 verse 13 also talking about the same thing, that the Holy Spirit will convict us. So there are many verses talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But one thing we know, that the Holy Spirit will transform us. You will be led by the Spirit of God. You will be led by the power of God. You will be changed by the Holy Spirit. We should examine, is the Holy Spirit teaching you? Is the Holy Spirit influencing your life? When you do something wrong, are you convicted by the Holy Spirit? Are you grieved by the guilt? It's like a burden upon your head till you go and ask God for forgiveness. Is this happening to your life? So the fifth point is, a true believer knows the voice of the Lord. He has a spirit of discernment. We just read in John chapter 10 verse 27 says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. God's voice can be heard by His sheep. Can be clearly heard by His sheep. The nature of a true believer or a child of God is that they will know the voice of God. They know the truth. If you look at truth, truth is God's word is truth, right? So the Bible says that we are saved by God's word. We are saved by the word of God. And as God's children, not only we are saved, but we delight in truth. We delight in God's word. Then we also dwell in God's word. It's very important that we should be dwelling in God's word. Delighting in and also walking in truth is also very important for God's children. Are you truly walking in truth? Are you truly walking according to the word of God? Here we say that, my sheep hear my voice and they will follow me. God's children will know Christ, will know the shepherd. Says in John, the same chapter, John chapter 10 verse 8 says that I am the good shepherd. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of my sheep. There is a relationship between you and Christ, that you are in a relationship where you know God. It's not that you will know Him in His fullness. When you read God's word, you will know that He is real, He is alive, and He is speaking to you and He is talking to you. And His word is alive unto you. So we see that God's children delight in His word. That's the nature of God's children. A true believer will delight in God's word. It is like it's sweeter than honey. The Bible says Psalm 19 verse 10 that it's sweeter also than honey. It says more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than more than fine gold, sweeter also than honey. It is an essential thing to delight in God's word. If you are not truly desiring God's word, if you are not delighting in God's word, then we have to examine ourselves. Do you truly have the faith, biblical faith? Psalmist in Psalm 119:92 says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my affliction. Unless the law had been my delight, I would have perished like the rest. But God's children love God's word. They love it. They rejoice in truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, talking about love, rejoices in truth. Truth is something through which God's children are born again. And truth is something that God's children are sanctified by truth. Jesus, when he was praying to God in the Garden of Gethsemane, in John chapter 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we are sanctified, or in other words, we are separated. We are set apart. We are renewed. We are transformed by God's truth, which is God's word is truth. Thy word is truth. We all memorize Psalm verse chapter 1, right? And his delight is in the law of the law, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Who is this man, this person? He is the blessed person. He is a true child of God who delights in God's word. That's the delight. That's the rejoicing that only God's children have. And only through God's truth that we are made free. Only if you continue in the truth, and only if you rejoice in God's truth, that God's truth will set you free. Jesus was saying in John chapter 8 verse 31 and 32. Let's read this. John chapter 8 verse 31 and 32 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So just focus on this phrase saying, if you continue in my word, if you continue in truth. 32 says, and ye shall know the truth. If you continue to believe in him, then you'll know that you have eternal life, and by knowing that you have eternal life, you will continue to believe. 1 John chapter 5 also talking of the same thing. Here it says, and if you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God's truth will sanctify you. God's truth will make you free. You will have this spirit of freedom so that you can cry, Abba, the Father. We do not have the spirit of bondage again to fear. We are those that are bold as that of the lion. God's children are bold to face God because we know and understand God. We know and understand His grace so that there is no fear. There is no fear because of His blood, because of His body that's broken for us. But you see, there are many false prophets and there is great deception in this world. Jesus warned about the false prophets. There are many of them and many will be deceived. The Bible mentions that in the last days there will be many false prophets and will deceive many people. And the false prophets will do great signs and wonders. The false prophets do work great miracles. That's what the Bible says. The false prophets will do great signs and great wonders. The false prophets do great miracles. They will cast out demons and can do wonderful things. I'm just referring from the Bible. I have references. I will give you a soft copy if you need. But God's children have the spirit of discernment. God's children have the spirit of discernment to know the voice of God and to understand that this is not the voice of God, because of the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit lives and abides in us forever. If you're truly a child of God, the Holy Spirit lives and abides in us, and it will let us understand whether is it the voice of God or not. Matthew chapter 24 verse 11 says, "For many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Matthew 24 verse 24 says, "For there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." But it's not possible, because of the Holy Spirit that keeps us. We are kept by the power of God and by the Spirit of God. Revelation 13:13 says, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven." So you see great wonders. However, as the Spirit of God, we have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, which is called as the Spirit of truth, gives the believer a discernment to know the truth from the lie. John also in 1 John chapter 2 verse 19 says, "They went out from us because they were not of us. If they were of us, they would have continued to stay with us, because they do not have the right spirit. They do not have the Holy Spirit. They went out from us. If they were for us, they would have continued to be with us." 1 John chapter 4 verse 6 also talking about the same thing, the same idea, that a true believer has the spirit of discernment. True believer. John says, 1 John 4, 6, "We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us." Those that know God will hear the truth. Those that do not know God cannot understand, because the things of God has to be discerned and understood spiritually. Because they cannot understand it, that they can go after any deceiver. However, the Bible also wants us to take heed and be careful and watchful. Paul also warned the believers at Ephesus to be watchful. For a time of 3 years, every day and night, he warned the church at Ephesus. Acts 20:28, talking about the same thing, that Acts 20:28-31, talking about this, to take heed to yourselves, because the Holy Spirit had made you overseers. Here Paul says in Acts 20:29 onwards, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." You might understand. We might think that what's the need for me? If I'm a child of God, I will know the truth. I don't have to worry. I don't have to care about anything. If I'm God's child, I have God's spirit. I don't have to worry about anything. But there are so many warnings in the Bible. Paul warned Timothy, who was brought up in a godly family. 2 Timothy chapter 1, talking about Timothy's mother, grandmother are all saved. And he was brought up in a godly Christian family. But Paul is talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16. Says, "Take heed to thyself and to whom you're preaching." Let's read that. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16. So here Paul is saying that thou shalt save yourself. Why should Paul mention that you, by taking heed to the right doctrine, to the sound doctrine, that he will save himself? What's the need for Timothy to take heed to a sound doctrine? He's already serving as a pastor in this church. There is no need. We might think there is no need. I'm a child of God. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to really be concerned about truth. But the Bible says that you will be set free by truth. You will be sanctified only by God's word and with sound doctrine. You have to be established with the right understanding of God's word is very important. That's when you are a true child of God, when you have the right discernment. The sixth point is God's children will have an overcoming spirit or an obedient spirit. Not only Christ is for you a savior, but he is also a Lord of your life. You will have an obedient spirit. That's also an essential thing. If you're not obedient, if you're not willing to be obedient to Christ, then there is something is wrong with your essential, something is wrong. You are not truly born again. You do not have the spirit of obedience. Bible is very clear. 1 John chapter 5 verse 5 says, "Who is he that believeth? But only he that overcometh." Only he that will overcome from his disobedience. Only he is the one who believes. By the Holy Spirit and the faith and the hope that is given unto us, we become an overcomer in our walk, that we fight back from our failures and from our sins, and we overcome them. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are those that by the Spirit of God and by the power of God, you overcome things. You are no more the same. What was once a failure to you, what was once a disappointment, or you're depressed in life, is no more a depression for you, for God's children. You overcome anything, any temptation, any depression, anything, because we are more than overcomers because of the hope that is set before us. Bible says that because of the hope that is set before us, because of the Holy Spirit that opens and reveals us, we become overcomers and we submit to the authority of Christ. Only to Christ do we submit, not to our flesh. That doesn't mean that you are a sinless man. That's not what we are talking about. You still would have weaknesses, but as the Holy Spirit reveals unto you, as the Holy Spirit convicts you, you fight it. Fight against your body. As Paul said, "I beat my body and bring it into subjection, that Christ may be formed in me in fullness," so that you grow in Christ. The Bible is very clear that we should have an overcoming, a victorious spirit. Psalm 19 verse 13 says that, "Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins." Well, presumptuous are like that are planned sins, or like schemes that you plan to sin. "Let them not have dominion over me. Let them not rule over me. Only then I am upright. Only then I am innocent." That's what the Bible says. Only when you do not have this willful sins, only when you do not have two hearts, one heart is to be in the church, another and to read the Bible, another heart is to serve your flesh. When you have a will, God will provide the power. Paul says, "For me to will is there, but I do not have the power." But the Holy Spirit gives us the strength. It might not happen in a day, according to his time and power. Because the Bible says, "He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world." That's a memory verse, right? 1 John 4, 4 says, "He that is in us is powerful to make us overcomers." So we have a discernment, a spirit of discernment. We have a spirit that overcomes things and becomes obedient, that we cannot continue in sin. It's very clear. God's word is very clear that we cannot continue in sin. Those are the true marks of child of God, that we have true biblical faith, we have true repentance, change of life, we have spirit of humility. Habakkuk 2:4, I guess it says that those that are proud, they are not upright, their heart is not upright. That's our memory verse, right? But the just shall live by faith, trusting in God. But those that are proud, their heart is not upright. They're guilty before God. We have a spirit of discernment, the spirit of an overcoming and obedience, obedient spirit. The 7, 8 and 9, the last three fruits of the Spirit. We can say that those are the fruits of the Spirit, where the Spirit that is in us changes us to have love for our brothers and sisters. This is godly love. Then we have number 8 is a hope of eternal blessings. Last one is we have a spirit of growth. So because of time, I'm going to go quickly over it. Love is very essential, and it's the greatest of the three virtues that we see in God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 13 says, now abideth faith, hope and love. But the greatest of all this is love. If you have God's love, you will love your brothers. Bible is mentioning about this. God is love, and God's children also manifest the nature of God. If you claim that you are God's child, but if you hate your sister or a brother, then there is something is wrong with the essentials. Maybe your foundation itself is wrong if you hate somebody. But if you forgive and forget it and show God's love, that's what it is. It's like the nature of God's child is to love God, and the way how you love God is by loving your brothers and sisters. 1 John chapter 2 verse 10 says, 1 John 2:10 says, he that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. 1 John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Only those who love their brothers and sisters are truly born of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. We see the chapter of love in 1 Corinthians 13. The nature of love is suffereth long, is kind, is does not envy, does not want itself, it's not easily puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly. This is the nature of love. So you should have this element of love. This is bearing fruits of love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. These are the fruits of love, fruits of the Spirit. So we have this as the nature of a true believer is to have this love, God's love. The eighth mark of a true believer is hope. Every believer will have this virtue because he believes in the promise of God. The hope of glory, which is Christ in us. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in us is a hope of glory. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18 and 19 says that God has promised by two immutable things. God has promised us and given us this hope. The first immutable thing is he has promised, or the promise itself is immutable, is the oath itself is one immutable thing, that is unchangeable thing. Second one is his nature itself. God who promised by himself, because there's nobody that's greater than God. So he has given us an oath. He doesn't have to give us an oath, but a promise. All he have to do is just tell God cannot lie. But by two immutable things, which it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The hope is set before us. So a believer, a true believer, will have this hope of God's eternal promise. One day you shall be with him. One day you shall be like him. One day you shall see him as he is. And you shall rejoice with the glory in His presence with exceeding joy. Bible says, talks about hope as an anchor to our soul. Hope is like an anchor. A hope is set before us, and that hope will a hope is set before him, and he will hold on to this hope as an anchor to his soul. That's for a true believer. The Bible talks about this hope as a sure and steadfast hope, which is secured and goes into the innermost sanctuary of God. It's just like for a ship, you have an anchor. If you don't have an anchor, when there are floods or when there's a storm, the ship will just go away with the storm, and you will lose the ship. But if you have an anchor to the ship, and it holds the ship so that the ship will not be lost. Just the same way, for God's children, we have a sure and secure hope which goes into the innermost court, or in other words, it goes to the innermost sanctuary of the holy place, or it goes into the innermost chamber. And who dwells in the innermost of the Holy of the Holies? God dwells in the Holy of the Holies. So this hope that we have is the anchor that is held tightly by no other one but God. God holds it so strong, so that we have this great consolation. We have this great hope. Again, the hope also is a gift from God. It's a fruit of God's Spirit. All these virtues, all these marks that were given to a believer, are given to us only by the grace of God as a gift to us. We should remember that there is no boasting. Paul says to the Corinthians, let's read that, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Quickly says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive, why dost thou glory as if that thou that hast not received it?" Here Paul is saying that what is it that you glory as if that you have not received it? What is it that you take pride? As if that you have it for yourself. He's saying that who makes you to differ from one among other? All that you have received is not of yours. All that you have is not yours. Unless God gives you, it is not yours. Why do you fight among yourself? Why do you boast among yourself as if that you have not received it? Everything that you have is because you have received it from God. Even if you have something, why do you boast as if that you have not received it? As that, like, I have it by myself. It's not given to me. Here we see that everything that we have, all the goodness that we have, all the good nature that we have is given to us as a grace. All the marks that we have is only by God's grace. Hope is one of the driving forces for a believer. If you do not have hope, you will be like that of the lost ship. Just the way how the ship is lost, you are lost without any power. Imagine, there's an illustration about a town, a hopeless town, because the name of the town is called Flagstaff in Miami, I think, Maine. So in that town, they were told that this town will be destroyed after 3 months by the floods, because we are building a dam, and the way we are building this dam is that after 3 months, this town will be gone with the floods. When they heard this news, the people in the town, they were not able to do anything else. They already got this news that all their houses will be destroyed, everything will be gone. So there was no hope for them. Even though they had 3 months, they were hopeless. There was no strength in them. There was no power in them to do anything. They didn't clean their homes. They didn't paint their homes. They did nothing to make themselves good. That's how it's going to be, where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. But we have this great hope. We have this great faith in the promises of God, so that we can have this great power in the present to work for Christ, to work for God, and to live for Christ. So we have this hope. And the ninth one is a life of spiritual growth. A true believer will grow from strength to strength, from glory to glory, only because of the Spirit that lives in us. We can see clearly from the parable of the sower and the seed that only the seed that was sown in a good soil was able to grow and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. But only the soil that was able to grow was able to bear fruit. The Bible says that those who bear fruit are only true believers. The Bible is clear on that. John chapter 15 verse 2 says, I am, verse 1 onward says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman or the farmer. God is our farmer. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That's very clear. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he will cut it off from the root. If the branch is not bearing fruit, you are disconnected from the root. Root is Christ. So, but we see again in the nature of a true believer is like that of the path of a just. It's like a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Proverbs 4:18 talking about the nature of a true believer is like that of a shining light. A true believer grows and bears fruit. Without fruit, and maturity is not a true believer. The Bible compares a true believer to a plant or a branch which brings forth fruit. If a branch is not bearing fruit, the branch is cut off from the main tree. God is a good farmer and he trims the tree to remove all the unfruitful branches which do not bear fruit. Matthew chapter 13 verse 23 talking about this seed that is sown in the good ground. The rest of the soils are not fruitful. One was a person who received God's word, but he lacked any understanding or even the basics. So it's like a seed that was thrown on the wayside. As soon as he heard the gospel, he did not understand anything, and Satan comes and takes the seed away from him. So it's just like, so first one is he just hears, he doesn't receive. But you also have two other soils. One is stony soil and then the thorny soil. So these also are not true children of God. Second one is somebody who is on a stony ground. When the seed is put on a stony ground, you can see appearances of life when the tree shoots up, when the plant shoots up, but there is no strength when persecution comes because of the word. It says when God tries us, then because of the tribulation, there is no strength from the roots. It's not properly connected to the rooting system is not properly done. So the plant withers away or dies. And the third soil is that's on a thorny ground, where in a thorny ground, the plant again shoots up, but because of the worldly things, because of things of the world, there was no proper strength to bear fruit. When tribulation comes, the third kind is influenced by the worldly affairs. Things of the world choke the life. So that if you read God's word, it says that choke God's word, because the plant is not able to receive proper nutrients because of the thorns, because of the concerns of the world, either like the worldly things or because of the riches of the world. He is too much involved in the worldly affairs that he was not able to receive strength from God's word, and then he is unfruitful. So we see like four kinds of soil, but the last one is one something that bears fruit. There could be like 30-fold, 64, or 100-fold, but God desires God's children to bear fruit, and so that we are for the glory of God. And also it's an essential thing that God's children grow and bear fruit. So I pray that God would give you the wisdom to retain these words, so that you can be strengthened, and also you can use these truths to restore others, so that they're not deceived. Can we have a life of faith, a life of repentance, a spirit of unworthiness, life led by the Spirit of God, and a heart which knows the voice of the Lord, an overcoming spirit, and a spirit of love, and the hope of eternal blessings, and a life of fruit. Let's pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for using me, Lord, though I am unworthy, Lord. I pray and thank you, Lord, for giving this time, Lord, so that we can look at your word, so that we can bear much fruit, Lord. We ask you to bless this congregation, Lord. Bless your children so that your spirit be filled, and they can walk in your path, Lord, so that they can walk by faith, filled with your spirit, O Lord, so that they can be strengthened in your love and your grace. Lord, we ask you that your light shine forth, Lord, through our lives. We ask you as we leave this place that your peace and joy be in our lives, Lord, and that we may be strengthened, Lord, in your spirit. Lord, we pray for the needs of the church, Lord, for all the ministries, for your grace be upon all the ministries. We pray for the children and the youth. Help us all, Lord, to witness to those who are lost. Thank you and praise you, Lord, for this church and for your grace upon the leaders and for all of us, Lord. We commit this night into your loving hands. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.